In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's have our seats. Let's have our seats. God bless you. Bless you. You can't shake your neighbor, but you can wave and tell your neighbor you're welcome to church. Tell your neighbor it's so good to see you again. Some of us were in church last week, Sunday. Throughout the week, we didn't show up. So we're seeing us afresh yet again in a new week. Say you're welcome to church. And because you have come in this new week, God will bless you and prosper your ways in Jesus' name. Quickly, I'd like us to go to what the Lord has prepared for us this morning. Our theme for the month, as you can see on the screen, is the secret of success. Secrets of success. But by the message of God, thank you so much, Daddy. Daddy has given me a topic to take, which is the secrets to academic and career excellence. Secrets to what? Academic and career excellence. In essence, can you prosper? In your quest for more knowledge, as you go about doing your work, how can you prosper and ensure that the will of God is what you are working? Praise God. That the will of God is being made manifest in all that concerns you. Our text for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. I'm reading from verse 14. Matthew, chapter 25, and I'm reading from verse 14. Media, please help me. It's the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Praise God. Some other translation will say that he gave them talents. He delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. How many abilities? Is it 1 ability? To every man according to his several ability, and straight away he took his journey. So the master just gave according to the ability, and the master went on a journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went ahead and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. He that had received 2 did the same thing and gave other 2. Let's go to the next verse. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and he hid the Lord's money. He hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20. And so he had that received 5 talents came and brought out other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside these 5 more. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over all things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. He that also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received just 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Let's go to the next verse. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast it, is thine. 26, the last. His Lord answered him and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I'll reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Verse, the last one. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that's to the bank, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Praise the Lord. Story, parable of the talent, very popular story. I'm sure some of us know about it. And the key thing that stands out for me is that the Lord knew the ability of the servants, and he gave them according to their several abilities, meaning that each and every one of us here has an ability. Some may have 1, some may have what? Plenty, several. But the Lord demands that you show something with the ability that he has instilled in you. Praise God. It is supposed to be dormant. It is not supposed to be dormant. No wonder upon creation, he instructed man in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish and dominate. To replenish and dominate. So each of these mandates, they have a literal point of view towards a change and growth. A movement from one point to the other. When you multiply, you're no longer remaining like you were before. There's an increase. Praise God. When you replenish, there's an increase. And when you dominate, you are acting from a place of authority. Praise the Lord. And you will not remain the same. For somebody here this morning, you will not remain the same in Jesus' name. And looking at the secrets to success. So what is success? For me, success is the opposite of failure. It is the opposite of failure. It is the status of having achieved or accomplished something. Praise the Lord. And that something has to be an objective. So you don't just wake up without a plan and you say, I am successful. There has to be a plan. There has to be an objective. There has to be a measuring stick. What was before and what is now? If there's no yardstick, no baseline for measurement, then you cannot say that you have made progress. Is somebody understanding? So I was like this before and now this is me. So I can see the difference. If you cannot see difference, you cannot measure success. Praise God. If you cannot see difference, you cannot measure success. In another definition, success is not just about your own achievement. It is about you gaining fulfillment from helping somebody to make a difference in their life. So when I help somebody improve on himself, improve on herself, I count myself as what? As successful. And beyond this definition, God seeks for your success. God wants your success. It is your success that makes God happy. And God knows and he has planned for it. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he says, I know the plans I have for you. They are not of evil, but they are for what? For good. For hope and to give you an expected end. What is the expected end? That in all strive to do, you will be what? Successful. Praise God. So when you hear academic or professional success, what comes to your mind? Success is not just about I have money in the bank. Success is about your intellect. Success is about your health. Success is about your total well-being. So when people say I have academic excellence, what do you think? Are you visualizing somebody having certificates on their wall, like a million certificates on their wall? Or you're seeing somebody who is the manager of a bank? Praise God. If that is all you see, then there may be somebody who has all the certificates in the world, but the person is not successful. So it's possible to be a successful failure. Meaning that you have attained accomplishment, but the motive behind the accomplishment is wrong. And the will of God is not seen in the accomplishment. So you have the things, the enabler to help you, but you are failing. So in the eyes of man, based on your attainment, on what you have accomplished, you are successful. In the eyes of God, you are not successful. Typical example, King Herod. Praise God. You are not what? Successful. There's a book I read some years ago. When I got this message, I had to go back to go and look at that book. It's called The Destiny. If you can lay your hands on it, read it. It talks about a man, a captain of a ship. In the eyes of man, this man was the best employer. He didn't allow the people on the ship to womanize, drink. On Sunday, he leaves them to go to church. So in the eyes of man, he was the best man. He will pay them their wages. He will give them increase and all that. But you know what? This captain was a pirate. What does a pirate do? They steal other people's ships and their goods. So he may be doing good in the eyes of man. But in the eyes of God, he's not successful. That man is what? A successful failure. May we not be a successful failure in the name of Jesus. May we not be a successful failure in the name of Jesus. To be success, you need to grasp understanding. You need to have knowledge. You need to grasp understanding. You need to have knowledge. When I was a baby Christian, people who are going to write exams in school, they have not read, they have not done anything. And they say, there's church today, pastor is going to lay hands on me. And when God lays his hands on me, I will pass my exams. If anybody is doing that to you, the person is deceiving you. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot get success by the impartation of hands, by laying of hands. You can get wisdom. You can get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Proverbs chapter 4, technical, please help me because of my time. Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy eye, ear unto my saying. Next verse. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You keep in the word of your father. For they are life unto those that have found them and health to their what? To their flesh. So you gain Knowledge, you gain understanding. But success does not come from laying of hands. Praise God. Success comes from walking a particular way, from understanding who God is, having a relationship, and then walking the will of God in your life. And you see yourself flying in your academics and in your profession, and so shall it be in Jesus' name. Now, a dilemma I see with Christians most times is, for them, there tends to be a particular, in addition to me, we tend to see a thin line between defining what is acceptable success for a Christian and what is not. I like the way they put it this morning during the open heavens. In fact, I went to her and said, thank you for that word. You just preached my message. Praise God. There's a thin line. What am I saying? God does not want us to live in mediocrity. So you cannot say, stay here and say, because I'm a Christian, I cannot get a first class. I cannot be the manager of this bank. I have to pray it into manifestation. With prayer, add your hard work. With prayer, add your success. Am I speaking to somebody today? With prayer, add your hard work. Add your studies. You must study to show thyself approved. Nobody will come and stamp on your result and say approved without seeing that you have studied. So you must study to show thyself what? Approved. Jesus as a typical example. If you look at Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 52, the Bible says that Jesus grew in what? In wisdom. He grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and with man. He grew in what? In wisdom. Meaning that intellectually Jesus grew. Intellectually Jesus grew. He studied and he grew. When he was young, his parents were looking for him. The Bible says they found him in the midst of scholars, in the synagogue. And the Bible says that he was sitting in the midst of professors who were awed by his level of knowledge. Is somebody following me? They were amazed by his level of knowledge. Don't sit down and cross your leg and say, I'm sitting. Don't worry, watch me. That's all, and you go away. No. They were awed. He could have a conversation with them. Are you able to have conversation with people? I find that a bit not on a very good side when I speak to some youths. In my place of work, I have the opportunity to assess people as well. And then when I speak to some people, I just go back and say, God, what is happening to this generation? You need to be able to hold a conversation. You cannot hold a conversation about what's going on in your country if you don't study to know what's going on. Praise God. You want to be a manager tomorrow. You're not making moves to do what the managers do. You're not making moves to grow yourself in that direction. You can't hold a conversation as a manager. You can't hold a conversation as a leader. Praise God. Leadership is not instilled in each and everybody. There are people who have leadership styles, even though God has called us to dominion. Some of us are living that. We're living it to be what? To be redundant in us. So for the ones who are working it, you see yourself prospering. May you prosper in the name of Jesus. Now, when we look at a typical example of a young man who grew in wisdom, we look at Daniel. You can take down the book of Daniel chapter 1 from verse 3 to 4. Daniel chapter 1 from verse 3 to 4. There was a need in the kingdom, and the king gave an order for certain young men to be selected. Now, what is intriguing for me in that scripture is that conditions. Number one, make sure that they are versed in every branch of learning. So he's not seeking for people who had opportunity to go to school and decided not to make the most of that opportunity. He's seeking for people who are told themselves that they will go the extra mile. He said they have to be versed in learning, gifted with knowledge and good judgment. You cannot have good judgment by sitting in your own cocoon. Hello? They must be vast. That means they are learned. So even though they were going to be trained, he didn't want people who were uncooked. He was looking for people who had attained some level of wisdom. My dear brother, my vision you have to be in a particular profession, you cannot achieve it until you work towards it. Praise God. You are in school. You didn't just happen. Being in school didn't happen by chance. I spoke to somebody some time ago and I said, this course you're doing, why are you doing it? He said, everybody in my family is a graduate. Me too. I want to have a certificate as a graduate. Is that your reason for going to school? If that is your reason, then you better drop out. Hello? That's not good enough reason for me. So Daniel was working towards that. And Daniel and other men were selected. But Daniel was versed. And Daniel did something else. As we go further, we'll look into it. Now, Jesus grew in his intellect. Jesus grew physically. Stature could be your physical height. Stature could be your physical assessment, your physical accomplishment. Mommy said something this morning. She said, you cannot be coming to church regularly in the last 5 years and still remain the same. Your prayer point hasn't changed. There has to be a difference between you of today and you 5 years ago. So Jesus grew physically in strength, in everything. Are you growing? Are you growing or are you still stagnant? If you're still stagnant, you need to do a check. There's something we do in project management. It's called a plan, do, act, and check. So I plan to do something, I stop. I plan it, and then I do it. In doing it, I assess whether I'm making progress. And if I'm not making progress, I go back to my game, and I start all over again. The process has to be iterative. So you need to be able to assess yourself. You can assess yourself. You can ask your peers to assess you. Praise God. There are a lot of things you can do to be sure that you're making progress. Jesus grew socially. The Bible says he grew in favor with man and with God. So he grew socially. Some of us think that growing socially is being a social butterfly. You have to attend all the one days in Lagos. No. As a Christian, it's being at peace with all men. So that when I come into contact or I meet you, the purpose for our meeting will be fulfilled in my life. For me as a person, I have a mantra. When I meet someone, there are two things. There's a lesson and there's a purpose. There is someone who wants me to learn from meeting you. And there's a purpose for that meeting. That purpose may be me helping you or you helping me or both of us collaborating to help or do something else. So when I meet someone, when I see that there's no purpose and there is no lesson, I run away. So I follow you peacefully. But the depth of my relationship with you will not go beyond a certain level. Praise God. So there's a purpose and there is what? A lesson. Then Jesus grew in favor with God. So he grew spiritually. Every day there was a daily zeal to be in a better place. There has to be a daily zeal, a daily hunger. The psalmist put it, am I so panting for thee? Is your soul yearning for that deep relationship, that deep connect with God? For you prosper in your academics and in your career, you have to partner with God. It is the God factor that makes the whole difference. Praise God. It is the God factor that makes the whole difference. When you catch the God factor principle, then you will know that your prosperity is not about you doing stuff, but it is about Christ in you enabling you to do it. People who know me a couple of times, I've said it here. My best scripture is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives what? In me. So you get that job, you excel, not because you as a human being have the qualifications, but Christ in you is the one making the difference. It baffles me when people who have jobs struggle to pay tithe. It is not you going to work, it is Christ that goes to work. He has already gone before you to make every crooked path straight. He's already there ensuring that everything that should come to you comes to you. He's ensuring that you are selected amongst every other person that is qualified, because he makes what you have, what you don't have, to be a criteria. So it is Christ that makes the difference. So until you come to that realization, you will be struggling with, it is me, it is me. Praise God. For you to succeed academically, the God factor is what makes the difference. So let's look at some of the secrets that can aid us, the nuggets that can aid us in being successful in our career, in our profession, in our academics. Number one on my list is discovering your why. W-H-Y. Discovering your what? Your why. W-H-Y. Why is a word. Why am I in school? Why do I need this change? Why do I desire this progression? Why do I want to be in this profession? If being in a profession is because of the money, my dear brother and my sister, by the grace of God, I may be a little girl, but I have worked for almost 20 years. If money is the reason, the enabler why you're choosing a profession, you may not make progress. Do you understand me? Because there's a time when the money will not be there. You can ask people who their salaries have been slashed during the pandemic. They are still working. Are they not working? In fact, people are still taking jobs now that pay them much more lower than they were getting 2 years ago, just because they want to survive. But I tell you what, if you pick the Dangotes of today, who are not driven just by the money, but by the value that comes in their head, and you take away their money, and you drop them in a desert, and say, come, even in that desert, they will find something that will make money. Hello? So let your why not be money driven. Let your why be the value that comes to you, the glory that goes to God, and the impact you make in other people's life. Until you find these tripartite reasons, you are far away from your why. Praise God. Why are you in school? Why did you choose that course? Why are you studying medical science? Because your father is a medical doctor. Has God destined you to be a medical doctor? My mother was a professor. I want to be a professor. Has God destined you to be a professor? I've shared it here before. My dad is a lawyer. When I was in secondary school, they say, yes, you're the first daughter. You have to study law. Go to school. I went into the arts. You know, in school, you have arts, commerce, and what? Science. I started arts in SS1. I made F9 first term. All my subjects. Second term, I only managed to get a C. I only managed to do what? Get a C. My father was so angry. And I told him, Daddy, you know I like to calculate. For me, give me any calculation, I'll solve it for you. But give me a book to read, I will sleep off. Hello? By the first term of SS2, I switched from arts to science. By the time I wrote Senior WAEC, I made the best result in my school. I made 9 A's straight out. Change in SS2. What am I saying? Don't choose a profession because somebody, I like this man. I like the way he knots his tie when he's going to work. One of my colleagues shared some years ago. He brought his nephew to be in the house. And he was having a career conversation the way we have with our children. What do you want to be when you grow up? And the boy looked at him and said, Uncle, I want to have money like you. Is that a career? Is that a career? So let money not be your driving force. Let money not be your driving force. Because until you find the why you're going to school, why you chose that profession, you will be very far away from it. When Daniel and other people were chosen, Daniel found his why. Daniel found his why. Take down Daniel chapter 1, 8 to 17. Daniel was chosen. But the Bible says that Daniel has decided in his heart that in this choice to serve in the royal palace, God will be glorified. Daniel found his why. To give God praise. To give God glory in his service. And Daniel, the Bible says, purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself by eating the kid. In your studies, what decisions are you making? Daniel found his why. In your career, what decisions are you making? Have you found your why? I pray today that the Lord will open your eyes to see the reason why you are there. And perhaps you need a change. The Lord himself will guide you in the path that he has destined for you in Jesus' name. When you have found your why, you must have a plan. You must have what? You must have a plan. And that plan includes a transition plan. For every man, there is a phase. For every man, there is a phase. Praise God. We were born as babies, now we're youths, we're adults. We're no longer babies. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I have grown up, what have I done? I have put away my childish what? Ways. So I call a young boy today and I say, oh boy, how are you doing? A 5-year-old. How much have you made from your business today? You say, Auntie, I want chocolate. What will you do? You will pardon him because he doesn't understand. 25 years later, call that same child and say, your father was giving you a monthly allowance of 500,000 when you were in the university. How much have you saved? And he tells me, I want chocolate. I will call the mother and say, you need to evaluate. He's having developmental issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to make plans for your transition. You didn't just happen to get into school today. Make a plan for after school. Plan. In your career, make a plan for the next step. Next place you want to find yourself. Or else, when that time comes, the Bible says time and chance happens to them all. When that time comes, you will find yourself lost. You will not know what to do. That's why you see graduates who have come out from school and they're roaming the streets 10 years after. Because you did not plan. There was a strike. There was long vac. What did you do with it? Simply going to Mama Nkechi who sells next to your house and say, Mama Nkechi, don't pay me. Let me be your sales girl. What are you doing? You're teaching yourself accounting skills. Praise God. They send you to go and do IT in a good firm. Rather than going there to go and study, you go there and change your motive. My dear brother, my dear sister, those things have a way of coming back. What are you doing with your time? You can recoup lost money. You can recoup lost wealth by the grace of God, but you can't recoup lost time. Every day brings us closer to the grave.
You can't retrieve yesterday. You can't retrieve yesterday. What you would have done 5 years ago, you're not doing it now. You can't retrieve it. And if you look at it with our work with God, there are mistakes we would have made as baby Christians and God will let it go. If you make it now as a matured Christian, you may pay dearly with your life. Who agrees with me? There are things you just cannot do. So you have to have a transition plan. You have to have a transition what? Plan. Plan for yourself. We hear marriages failing today. Why? Because you did not plan. You only plan that I'm going to get have a wedding. You didn't plan for the marriage. So when you find yourself in the marriage and problem starts, you cannot solve it. You don't even know how to go to God in prayer because you did not plan. Praise God. Now, in your planning, you can take down the book of Luke 14, 28. Luke 14, 28. The Bible talks about a man who cannot go into a business deal without counting his cost. Praise God. In your planning, you must have three plans. I'm running quickly because of my time. You have one, short-term plans or short-term goals. You will have long-term plans and you have an exit plan. Your short-term plan may be daily. It could be week, it could be monthly. For instance, you're on holiday. I have 1 month holiday. What can I quickly do during this 1 month to improve myself? You have 6 weeks leave from your organization where you work. Do you just want to take the leave and go to Seychelles? What of looking out for online programs you can do? 1 week, 2 weeks to improve on yourself. Praise the Lord. Rather than wasting the whole time. So you have short-term goals. And then you have long-term. Where do I want to be in the future? What am I doing for my next big thing? You have to work towards it. And in working towards it, you have the third one, which is your exit plan. You're not going to be in that position forever. So when you leave, what becomes of you? Will you move from grace to grass? Somebody say, God forbid. Have an exit plan. And in having your plans, you must make sure your plans are smart. They are specific, they are measurable, they are achievable, they are realistic, and they are time-bound. Praise God. Now, in having that plan for your exit, make sure you have replicated yourself in someone. Do not go away and just go like that. If you're efficient where you work, your company will demand that you help recruit somebody who will step into your shoes. It's happened to me twice. So I'm not speaking to you because I want to talk. I'm speaking to you out of experience. It has happened to me what? Twice. Look at Elijah and Elisha. 1 Kings 19, 19. Elijah caught this vision. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. And Elijah did what? He was scouting around for a successor. He had a plan for his exit. The Bible says that day, so he departed once and he found Elisha. What did he do? He cast his cloak on Elisha. Praise God. So he had a plan and he took a protege under his tutelage and he started training him. Have an exit plan. Number three, identify your gifts, identify your talents, identify your call. And in this identification, ask God to help you to fulfill it. Ask God for the purpose. Joseph had a vision. He kept seeing himself. He kept getting those dreams. And each time he got them, he shared with his brothers. Praise God. And each time he shared them, the anger and the envy in their hearts grew more. They didn't have a vision. But Joseph had one. That vision took him from being thrown into a pit, being sold, found himself in the prison yard, and then found himself as what? Prime minister. But the purpose for being a prime minister was not just for Joseph to gloat in that glory. The purpose was for Joseph to stand there as a savior for when the famine will hit the land. So you find yourself in a place of authority. Don't go back home and be posing for your people and say, this is me. I achieved this by having 20 masters and having PhD. There is a purpose for which God has placed you there. That place where you work, ask God for purpose. Maybe you have a boss who hasn't received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And the only reason why God gave you that appointment was for you to minister to that man. Praise God. And until you fulfill that purpose, you will not find fulfillment. You will not be successful in that career. So find your purpose. Identify your talent. Identify your gift. And find what? Your purpose. And do what? Find your purpose. Discover your call. Praise God. Discover your call. Another thing I would like to encourage us to do when we do all this is to place one more thing on this call, this talent. It is called passion. That is why you can go to work and do the same thing for 365 days without getting bored. It has to be something you like to do, something you love. So you have a passion for mechanic work and you go and become a secretary, you will frustrate the living daylight out of the owner of the business because that is not your passion. Hello? So if you identify your talent and your gifts, you'll be able to fulfill your call. And in fulfilling your call, ask God for purpose. Place passion on it so that every day of your life, when you go there, you will find something new to do. God will open the eyes of your understanding to see what needs to be done for that day. But if there is no passion, you're like the man who is offered 50,000 naira on top of his current salary. Where God has death making blow, the man leaves it and goes because of 50,000 naira. Praise God. That is the difference between Prophet Elijah and who? His servant, Gehazi. He had a passion for God. He had a heart for God. So when Naaman was healed and he came back and gave him a bag of silver and gold, he refused to take it. But the one who was driven by money did what? Ran behind him and grabbed it. And what did the Bible say? He ended up having leprosy. The sickness of that man was transferred to him. That will not be a portion in the name of Jesus. As you walk towards these three things, seek mentorship. Who are you accountable to? Mentorship is a two-way relationship. It is a two-way what? Relationship. It is a give and take relationship. The mentee learns from the mentor. Don't walk. No man is an island. Seek mentorship. Our role model is Jesus Christ. Praise God. But thank God for the gift of men that he has blessed us with. There are men we see today and we say, Daddy, please mentor me. Mommy, please mentor me. Seek mentorship. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14. Proverbs 11 verse 14. The Bible says that in the multitude of counsel, victory is what? Guaranteed. Where there is counsel, the people, where there is no counsel, people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What am I saying? Somebody to guide you. Somebody to direct you. If you walk alone, there is a tendency that you will fail. Seek what? A mentor. Elijah mentored Elisha. Eli mentored Samuel. Samuel was still small when the Lord called him and he didn't understand who was calling him. But Eli told him that when you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is here. Praise God. So he's directing him. Who is mentoring you? Who are you sharing your fears with? Who is encouraging you? Who is tutoring you? Praise God. Apostle Paul mentored Timothy. So from the beginning of the letter, when you see him writing to him, he said, I write to you in a certain way. That all is well with you. I have heard of your good deeds and all that. He mentored him. Who is mentoring you? Who are you accountable to? Remember that iron sharpens iron. So you can't give, you don't have. Praise God. And for you to give, you have to learn. You have to receive. The Bible says all we have received. We receive from God and we receive from men. We cannot receive from men when we are not teachable. You have to be what? Teachable. When I pray for my children, every time I say, Father, give them a teachable spirit. A bucket that is full cannot take water. Imagine if I have a cup of water now and I'm pouring water. What happens? It runs out. But being teachable means that I have filled myself with the valuable things that make the difference in life. And I still have room to take more. Praise the Lord. So make yourself teachable. Number 5, seek sanctification. I'm rushing now. Seek sanctification. Sanctification is about separation. The one who is successful is not the one who goes about mingling with everybody. You must have your alone time with God. In that walk is you and God. It is what? You and God. It is not you and Sister Uju. It is not you and your husband. It is not you and your wife. Those ones are help that God has provided you on your path to fulfillment. But it is a personal work with God. So you must seek sanctification. You need to be separated unto God. Being set apart. For God. Praise God. And you cannot do it on your own. You need to partner with God and ask for the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes you understand that this thing you're going to do is not valuable to your life. That place they say cuts a difference to your life. It is the Holy Spirit that even when you're going out, you say, Father, help me today. Where your grace will not cover me, let my feet not find me there. That comes from deep knowledge. And when you go there, you get an unease to leave. Praise God. There's an unease to just get up and leave. So that your spirit man is not corrupted. Seek sanctification. Seek sanctification. And in seeking sanctification, there are two things I have put here. Now, let's take down the book before then. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16. Nehemiah 2, verse 16. And then you can read 19 and then chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. When you partner with God, remember what I said, you and God. In that quest to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah caught this. The only person he shared his vision with was the king, because he needed permission from the king. But he was separated unto God and he didn't tell any other person. The Bible says even when he got into Jerusalem, he didn't tell any other person. When he went to look at the things that needed to be done. But on telling people, what happened? Sambalat and Tobias, what did they do? They started discouraging him. They started what? Discouraging him. May we not be discouraging in the name of Jesus. There are two things you must do when you learn sanctification. Number one is to tame your tongue. Tame your tongue. The one who walks with God does not speak anyhow. Because God expects the fruit of your lips to give him praise. Tame your tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19, too much talk leads to sin. Too much talk leads to sin. Tame your tongue. Daniel knew who God was, but Daniel didn't go about boasting. To say, I know my God, I will not defy myself. This king's food will defy me and everything. He only spoke to the one who was his supervisor. Tame your tongue. Tell it to God. Don't tell it to your friends. Then learn time management. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. There is time for everything. Right now, it is your time to seek success. It is your time to partner with God that you achieve excellence in all you do. It is not your time to be getting involved in everything that happens around you. It is not your time to be on social media. It's traction. On that your phone, send screen time. Then measure it every week. How much time do I spend on my phone? You see, the valuable time that you would have taken to read and study the word of God, you're actually spending it on your phone. Doing Facebook, doing what? Snapchat and the rest of it. Praise God. Check your time. Manage your time. Manage your time. Number six, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Be the one who will say, yes, this is the goal, but I want to surpass it. Be the one who will burn the midnight candle. You can imagine in the night when there is darkness and you put on your candle, what happens? It shines bright. Everybody sees. Be the light in darkness. You cannot be outstanding when you don't do extraordinary things, when you don't put in extra effort. In your work with God, be the one that will come early for workers' meeting. Be the one who will come in 1 hour before service and say, ha, I know that Mommy Rose, head of sanitation, her office is by my 12. She will not come early to church because of traffic. Let me come and check if church is clean for service. Hello? Be the one that will put in what? Extra time. Because when you do this, your star will shine bright. Media, let's have the book of Isaiah 54 verse 2. And as you put in extra time, let that extra time be geared towards making you a better you every day. Let it be geared towards making you a better you every day. Isaiah 54, 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Meaning your tent was this size. This is where you occupy. Seek to expand it. Move out of your comfort zone. And then let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Don't say, I am limited to this position where I am. I am limited to my first degree. No. You can add more. Gone are the days when people are employed and they say, because I have first class in my BSc. Now we have youths, less than 30, who are doctors. They come in and they talk about it. I told you about an assessment we did. These are Nigerian scholars who are seeking for scholarship to go abroad. And the question was, your why? Why will this company pay for your tuition? Pay logistics, everything, and keep you in that country for 1.5 years. Why? Praise the Lord. And you need to see fantastic presentations. Last weekend, Deacon Odias and I spoke to a couple of people who were preparing to go for the youth empowerment program. And I was a bit taken aback because they had not identified their why. For some of them, it was, let me just go, it's an opportunity. But you go and come back and you're still the same. No impact, no change. You haven't done anything. Praise the Lord. So be the one that will go the extra mile. And finally, remember the God factor. It is the God factor that makes a difference. It is the God factor that makes a difference. This morning, Daddy prayed for workers. He prayed for us and said, the secret of success, and people say amen. That's one thing that Christians do. We say amen. But when we go back, we don't work hard. There is no work on top of the amen. So you claim it and you go away. And tomorrow, when you don't succeed, you blame it on the devil that you cannot sue to court. He's not there. In my language, the name for the devil is Ekwensu. That is, if you agree, he will attack you. Praise the Lord. Ikwe, Yesu, when you agree, he comes in and he attacks you. So you're the one opening your doors for the devil to come in. You must embrace God and all that he represents with all your life. It is the God factor that makes the difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, one. Bread to eat, number two. In the same way, what else will he do? He will improve. He will provide increase for your resources. So he doesn't just give you a seed. He causes the seed to sprout. But in that seed to sprout, God expects something from you. That seed needs to be germinated. It needs to be fed. What are you feeding your seed with? If you're not feeding your seed with the word of God, that seed will die. I pray that the seed in our hands will not die in the name of Jesus. You need to feed the seed. You need to water the feed. And the Lord who has given you the seed will look at you like that servant whom he gave 5 talents. And the one with 2 servants and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come into thy rest. But if you refuse to feed it, you are whom he gave one. Just one. Just one. Just one. And even with the one that he had, in accordance to his ability. Oh, not that the Lord decided to give one 5 and give you, in accordance to his ability. For some of us sitting here, God has given us 10, 20, 50. We're sitting here. We're not making any use of it. Ask God to help you in the name of Jesus. You can take down the book of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 3 talks about us making our plan. But it is God who weighs it, and it is God who brings it to fruition. I pray that the plans that you make in accordance to God's will today, the Lord will bring it to fruition in the name of Jesus. For you to have good success, you must do something. You must be with God. You must invite him to your boat. Some of us have boats. We have bought boats, so we have boats. But we can't steer the boats because we don't have the expertise of a captain to steer the boat, particularly in turbulent seas. So you need Jesus in your boat to make the difference. It is God that makes the difference. You are here today, you need that difference. You have been struggling in your career. You are struggling in your academics. You're even sitting down, you have not even started, and you're saying, Lord, when will it be my turn to go to school? I ask you this morning to bow your head. Just bow your head and begin to reflect on the word that you have heard. And say, Father, help me. This morning, Father, I ask for help. Help me, Lord. You know the areas where I struggle. The Bible says that I'm the one that plan, but you know my heart and you know the motive. You are able to assess it, and then you pick the one that will give me good success. Lord, help me this morning. I cannot help myself if you cannot help me. Help me, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, help me, oh God. Even as you're making that prayer, say, Father, this morning. The Bible says you gave Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. That excellent spirit set him apart. It set him apart. He was distinguished amongst the crowd. Father, I ask, oh God, for an outpouring of your excellent spirit upon me in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the Lord that makes a difference. The spirit of the Lord that makes a difference. The spirit of the Lord that causes one to strive, to do much more, to burn the midnight candle. The one that causes the seedings of the Lord for the service of the Lord not to die. Say, Father, this morning, oh God, that you release upon me an excellent spirit. I refuse to live in mediocrity. I refuse to live in my comfort zone. That you open the eyes of my understanding to see that which you have planned for me. That it will catch the wisdom in it, oh God, Jehovah. Give me the understanding, the revelation of it, oh God. That I may catch and I may run with it, oh God, to the glory of your name. If you're praying that prayer this morning and you're not giving your life to Jesus, I tell you one thing, like I said, it is the God factor. That means you have not partnered with Christ. You want that difference to be seen and reflected in your life. I'd like you to raise your hands this morning. I'd like you to raise your hands this morning for a reconciliation with Jesus Christ. The one that makes a difference. The one that sets you apart. You're here under the sound of my voice and you're not giving your life to Jesus. Please raise your hands, my dear brother, my sister. This is that time that the Lord wants to visit you mightily. Raise your hands and I'll pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I'm going to take one more prayer before we close, before I step down. You're here and you can hear my voice. Where you are, in the depth of your heart, you know that that's where God has not destined for you. You are struggling in that path because you chose it yourself. It is not the will of God. You're struggling in that path because you chose it for the wrong motive. Your career is stagnated. You're not making any. You have checked around. God has given you the seed, but you lack the understanding to water it. You're here and you want to change. You desire a change in your academics and in your profession. I'd like you to raise your hand. If you're here this morning, you're struggling. Indeed, in your heart, you know you're struggling and you desire a change. Just raise your hand. As you raise your hand, just take a bold step of faith and come to the altar. I'm going to tell our daddy to pray for you this morning. You're here, you can hear me. You are struggling. In your heart, you know you are struggling. In your heart, you know deep down that you are struggling. You know that where you are is not where you want to be. Where you are is not where you want to be. You have caught the vision in your mind. You know that God has created you for greatness. But you find yourself struggling. Hear my voice. As you hear my voice, I invite you to come to the front.